Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Bottled in China. This is the podcast where we talk about wine, food, beer, and actually, in this podcast, we're talking about Chilean wine. Today, we're joined with Julio Alonso, who is the director of Wines of Chile out here in China. And as you know, actually, Asia is Chile's fastest growing wine market. And in this episode, we talk about how we got into the wine industry, which is actually pretty fascinating. But most importantly, we talk about Wines of Chile and how they've really managed in the last 4 years to really develop a strong strategy in China. They're not only using the typical master classes that you often see for all these government almost associations, but they really are trying to connect people with the, you know, introduce people to Wines of Chile. And really a great conversation. And I hope you enjoy the episode. Let's take a look. So everyone, welcome back to another episode of Bottled in China. Today, I'm joined with Julio, and we're going to talk about Chilean wines and also the really interesting topics about the wine industry out in Chile and also the reflection out here in China. So thank you so much for joining. Welcome Please. To the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's a great occasion, great day for me.
So we're excited because we met, you say 2 years, I think 1 year, but you know, we're never sure.
You never know time, right? I think it could be even 5 years, but yeah. So fast.
When I first met you, a lot of the questions, oh, how did you get into wine or that? And your story is unlike a lot of people who are in the wine industry. You come from a completely different background. I have to ask you the question again for everyone. How did you get into wine?
It's a good question. I don't know the answer, but I can tell you the facts, right? It's not that linear. Yes, I'm a lawyer for background. I study very early stage working. I worked as a lawyer like 10 years. I was a tax lawyer, in fact, very boring, very far from what I'm doing now. And then I worked for the Minister of Economy in Chile. I was helping the Minister of Economy in the Congress to, you know, pass the law in terms of trade and for 2 years. And then when I was there, I wanted to go out of the country and I submit for two trade offices, one in Milan and one in Shanghai. Mm. And I won Shanghai and I lose Milan. My wife was not very happy because we wanted to go to Italy. So it was a dream. So I came to Shanghai as a trade commissioner in Chile, of Chile in Shanghai. And my life changed completely. I stayed in China and I wanted to stay. And then after that period, I checked that we have no, you know, union trade or nothing from Chile really like united in Asia. So I came back to Chile. I talked to the board of directors of Wines of Chile and told them, hey, this is a world that is growing. Here is the future. Let's open an office. Let's do something for the industry as a whole, you know. There is something missing. There is an umbrella like missing to unify this industry. There is a great and it's a, you know, great things about Chile. It's an image of Chile is also, you know, like, you know, the blood of what we do. And they bought the idea. They, you know, allocate some budget to open the office. I opened 2014 and it has been, yeah, like 4 years of adventure dealing with the wine here.
You know, working in the wine industry in only 4 years, what you've been capable of doing is exceptional. I remember even joining some of the master classes that ASEC was doing actually previous. I think her name was Jenny.
Yes.
And I have to look at that. And that was a couple of years back. So that's amazing what you've been managed in the last 4 years. Did you feel that when you first opened up the offices, what were your top goals and priorities to kind of fix almost in China?
Yeah, you're going deep. It's always a difficult topic because, you know, we are a trade union. We're like the union in the industry. So our KPIs or performance indicators are not really aligned with what the wineries does. You know, we are not measured by export or value, volume or, you know, average price. We're measured more in the sense of creating a brand for the country as a producer of wine and awareness and preference and building the mindset of consumers and trade about Chile. So that's what we do. So for the beginning, it was not that easy to align these KPIs. And, you know, but now we are, you know, strongly clear what we are doing finally. And the export is a consequence of what we do. And we are not really short term. We're more mid and long term in our, you know, goals. So I told you on the street, we're, you know, now harvesting 4 years of work finally because we build a genuine demand on consumers here, Japan, Korea, you know, Asia. And we are feeling that trend coming just now.
Yeah. When you look at, you know, just to ask you, what were people's conception here in China of wines of Chile 4 years ago? So you said in 2014 when it really got set up. And what is their perception right now in 2018?
Well, we landed here with a quite, you know, white page to, and that's also beautiful because you can, you know, use the colors you want or, you know, use the tools you need. But I would say that Chile was quite well known by being a very far country, the farthest you can go, for sure. Yeah. And but also quite mysterious, you know, as a very, you know, long and thin piece of land. And some of the Chinese friends knew Chile because of the books in the school, you know. They know that Chile is a long and thin country. More than this, no. And some of them know that we're very strong in mining, because we are, mm-hmm. we still are, mm-hmm. not for too long, but we are. And we're the biggest producer of copper, so people related industries knew that, you know. But out of this, Chile was totally blank, and the page was there to you know, to fill it. And so in wine terms, we were a country that were growing strong, but I would say a country with a very, you know, narrow scope of options and not that diverse, you know. Mm-hmm. Then we passed from like 70 to now we have 200 wineries exporting to China.
Wow.
It's not that big if you compare with countries like Australia, Italy, of course, France, mm-hmm. etc. But it's big compared to our industry, which is not that big. And so more family, small projects are coming. Even projects that belong to big wineries are landing in China for specialists or specialties that they can offer. So the diversity and the deepness of Chile in terms of wine has been growing quite a lot. We were pure Cabernet driven, and now we are, you know, Carmeners, Merlots, and then the whites, mm-hmm. and many things are coming. So I think the page of Chile is now different in the mindset. I mean, people are excited about Chile. People think that Chile has something to offer in many different segments, not only, you know, in middle price segment, but also the whole scope of the table. And I would say that we have been creating content to trespass this message through these years.
Yeah. And another thing also is I saw a lot of, and you were actually just talking about that, WeChat activities, on-trade trainings, programs that you're developing, really like a seminar. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you tell us more about that? Because there's so many things happening that you guys are doing out here in China that, you know, to tell everybody what exactly you're doing to penetrate the market.
Yes. I think it's very exciting in the sense that I would tell you really frankly, I think we were pretty much the first one in doing this pool to consumers for a very early stage and allocating budget in a notion of uncertainty, you know, because it's very hard to tackle, you know, what you are looking for when you play in digital, even today. But also in 4 years, 5 years, things in digital has changed a lot. So you have actually better tools to, you know, go and talk to the people you want to reach. But yes, we established a Weibo for the first time. Now we have like 380,000 followers, which
wow,
is a good number for wine.
Yeah.
It's maybe the biggest in wine terms in terms of Weibo.
Wow.
We have a very strong WeChat. This is the main channels. We have a website that is launching in one more month with all the offer that Chile can offer in China. And, you know, it's a platform to connect with classes, to connect with content, to connect even with trips to Chile. So we own that. And we interconnect all these three, you know, platforms. But also we have been working like since last year's or 3 years with QLs,
yep.
like, you know, middle size and also small QLs, so minor QLs in different cities to reach more people and to, you know, transfer and forward the content that we're creating. And we've been doing excellent content creation. We did the Magical Mystery Tour to the Easter Island. We're being friends from China there.
I saw that. Can you tell us more about that? Because I saw a lot of pictures on WeChat moments from other friends who were there. Can you tell us about that? Because that really is a very interesting, you know, part of the country as well. Just going there is almost magical.
Yeah, it's really magical. It's in the middle of nowhere. I hope our friends from Israel will not listen to this, but it's really far and interesting. You arrive to Chile after 36 hours flight and you need to take another flight of 8 hours. So it's a long run. But it's worth it. It's you know, it's like really a point in the ocean. You manage to see the whole horizon, like, you know, one perspective. It's very beautiful if you
wow.
have a good day. And the culture of Rapa Nui, which is the name in, you know, in the language Easter Island, it's truly exceptional. It's not Polynesia. It's different. It's really unique It's a mix. They have manners and habits and, you know, stories that are truly different from the other, you know, Pacific cultures. So it's just really an appendix and something that people really react that it's truly, truly exceptional. We bring like in total 40 winemakers from Chile and people related to wine. And then we bring all the people from China, educators, mostly people on the wine, but then also journalists and people not related necessarily to wine, but lifestyle and food, mm-hmm. you know. We put them together and we taste the wine in Easter Island, combining this with food, local food, fresh. You can imagine how exceptional and fresh and unique is the food you can have there. But also with the normal tourist adventurous attractions of Easter Island. You know, the moais, that big sculptures that are there still. The beach Anaquena, which is maybe the most beautiful beach in the world.
I don't know that.
Yes, it's truly.
Really?
Yeah, we did a tasting on the beach, like in there, in the sun. So we really wanted to provide something new, you know, that it's a difficult word. But I think they all get really engaged with what we do. And we got like 1 week of, you know, we made friendship, yeah, truly close with these friends.
You know, one thing that you mentioned, which I kind of still have in my head right now, is I love how you mentioned that you're doing a little bit more of pull marketing, not mm-hmm. the push marketing.
Yes.
That is so important. And I think that wine industry is so competitive and in China that especially in terms of having to, you know, try to get all those KOLs or top end wine educators to listen to you, taste your wine, really invest their time. It is much more about creating experiences and creating something that they need, not necessarily just pushing up and saying that you guys have the best wine.
Yes.
Do you feel, looking at your strategy, do you think that WeChat and growing your platforms on WeChat Weibo is the future, or is there something else? Because you were saying 4 years ago, you were one of the first in the wine kind of to push that. Is there something else that you're thinking of up your sleeve to prepare for the next 4 years?
Well, we...
And no secrets, huh?
Amazing. I will just forget that you have 15,000 followers in this moment, but because it's really private conversation, private information. But you know, it's true. I mean, once I will tell you, like a couple of years ago, I went to meet my friends at JD.com in Beijing, and I was seated with them on a Monday, you know, and I told them, like, okay, so what's your strategy? And they told me, okay, what day is today? You know, today is Monday. Okay, yes. Yes, I don't know. We will write the strategy today up to next Friday, you know? So that's tell you the evolution and the rhythm and the difference really, truly, you know, essential with the digital life.
Yeah.
So we, in that strategy, we have an umbrella strategy, but we change, we follow the rhythm and we follow the wave.
Yeah.
And let's say just 30 days ago, we launched a great program in Idribo, which is a live stream show.
Yeah.
And we connect with our platform, these new platforms, in order to get more reach, you know,
mm-hmm.
to get spread it in the country. So we use also the trending apps and trending platforms that are raising. Some of them are going down after, or some of them are going very up.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know. But you navigate that wave following what you want to have, which is for us, you know, we want to reach the people that will be the drinkers in the future, not necessarily now. So people born, you know, or with 25 to 35 years old, this mm-hmm. is mostly our target. So we navigate through the apps and platform that they are, you know, using in a daily life. So yes, we change a lot. Every month we're looking for new forms of reaching them, being there, you know, in a different way in their mind. And well, the reach has been truly exceptional because we reached 300 million people last year.
My God.
In the reach. And the engagement was very high. 52 million people were reached with our content. That's meaning their forward, like, comment, or ask.
Jeez.
It's complicated when they ask too much, like, where I can find this wine? Please let me know more.
Yeah.
Send me wine.
But that's a good question. Huh? Where can I go buy it? You know? that's the question
it's
you actually
key
want.
Question. It's the key question. You should be in our board. It's the key question. It's very difficult to answer this because we know we have a wide offer. But yes, I mean, this is a thing, you know, the power of that, you know?
Yes.
50 million people engage, and we have a whole, you know, CRM that it's working to reply those questions that are, you know, constantly there. And we reach a point when we are using this database of people to embrace them and offer them more things, more, you know, classes and trips and things related to Chile. So they become, you know, involved permanently in this category, not only for something that happened once a year, like us that we met once a year.
Yeah. Hey, it's going to become annual though, at least, right?
Good. We have a summit.
Another funny thing that I keep hearing, and the numbers, I'm sure somebody listening is going to have a little bit of a heart attack when you said you reached 300 million people and it was at 52 million shares or something you just
Engagement. Yes.
You know, these numbers, every time in China you hear these numbers, and you and I are probably used to these numbers. Oh, we reached X amount of millions. A lot of people in Europe or in North America, if you even say a couple million, they're already going, this is a success.
I know.
The scope and reach of China is so exceptional. What do you think when you look at kind of working in China, what are some of the markets that really, really love the style of Chilean wines? Any particular regions?
Yes. Well, we define, and this is also, you know, truly interesting for people that are doing marketing in China, in the sense that we follow first the cities that are setting a trend for the rest of the country. And, you know, it's always, you can talk about Beijing, Shanghai, Guangzhou, like being cities that are leading some trends. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking just about food and wine. But then, I mean, you really have, you can do this and you can build your brand in those cities. But there are communities that are, you know, leading a new sort of layer in that trend building, you know? And for us is very key, Chengdu. You know, Sichuan is a province that for us is really responding to our wines in different aspects. If I tell you about the Carmeners or the Carmeners Cab that are coming from Chile, they are truly, you know, in love with this sort of style and apparently combining with all sort of out food that Sichuan offers, you know, from the really, really spicy to the not at all. Sichuan is one, I would say. In the north, we have been very close to Shenyang and, you know, to Tianjin and the surroundings of Beijing and also responding very well. We went now in the road through very exceptional and crazy decision, but we made it. We went to Xinjiang. We went to Urumqi.
Okay, that is a... Now, talking about trends, that is a big trend because I don't think a lot of wine, would I say, wine groups go there. What happened? I mean, why did you choose there?
Yes. Well, a mix of things. We wanted to go because Chile and Latin America in general, they were not even one event or one present, physical present of our, you know, community of Latin friends there. So we took the decision to take one market that it's totally, truly new market for us to open up and show what we can offer. And we went there. Urumqi is a city of 8 million people. It's the same population like Santiago, Chile, you know? And then...
you put it in perspective. I just keep laughing. China's so interesting. Right?
And Xinjiang in total is 25 million people. And you can think that they're more restricted for wine because, you know, of their culture, but they're actually being quite proud of being wine producer region.
Yes, you know?
And the landscape is totally amazing. You know, you see the same. For me, was like landing in Santiago because you land, it's very green. And then you see at the end this big chain of mountains that are, you know, embracing the city. And it's truly similar to what you have in Chile, you know. So the landscape, even the landscape, it's corresponding. But the feedback and the way they behave with us was amazing. We had a very nice masterclass with Fonyi Walker. The room was totally full, really responding, attending. They were really asking things. For me, was, you know, amazing. And then we have we bring 40 winers from Chile. We have a walk around tasting the trade. And then we have, you know, dinners with press. And, you know, the interest of having Chile in Urumqi, they will not, I mean, the first question was your question, like, why you're here, you know?
Yeah.
What are you doing here? I mean, can you please reply? This was very straight and direct. But I think, you know, in China, unfortunately, you need to try to be everywhere to build a genuine demand for your wines. And you're making trade in some cities, you cannot forget the rest. So once a year, at least, out of what we do in digital, we go physically to some market that it's a new market for us, where we have no distribution, we need to build a name, and where we can also say the same things that we did in 5 years ago. You know, this is Chile, the page is blank, we came here to tell you that we're premium wines from Chile and this is what we do. So they get, you know, the first impression for the very first moment and they can enjoy for the very beginning, you know. They have no much information about the other countries. They drink wine in Xinjiang from, you know, the neighbor countries, you know, Kazakhstan or, you know, even from Russia. They know that, Moldova, etc. But yeah, a bottle of wine coming from Chile to get to Xinjiang, you can imagine the journey.
Yeah.
So
wow.
So was interesting for them, you know.
That's, for me, that's fascinating because, again, I think a lot of people are scared to kind of just go start set up. It's just so, it's almost the idea that, oh, always Beijing, always Shanghai, always Guangzhou, Shenzhen. So to have that and for you guys to see and foresee almost demand coming up is so important and critical. And wow, I really have to say, I think all the Chilean wineries are so lucky to have you representing them because that is such a good move in the right direction. Mm. Another one is, I'm talking to a lawyer, obviously, right now. You said that now, next Tuesday, there's the National Chilean Wine Day is actually legal. So every other national non-wine or wine day is illegal. Is this correct? Because we have this
no,
on recording. It's
not correct, Emily. You're wrong. Don't put this word in my mouth. Don't do that to me. It's totally wrong what you're saying. All the legal wines are legitimate.
Okay.
But what we have is that basically we have in 1544, there was a, you know, letter on the 4th of September of 1544. At that time, the, you know, leading person in Chile sent a letter to the queen, to the kings in Spain. We were at that time, you know, under the Spanish, you know, colonies. And in the letter, they're saying, this country is so beautiful. It's a, you know, it's a paradise for agriculture, but we are lack of wine, you know, and you need to send me grapes because we need to, you know, host our troops and we need to also have wine for the mass, you know, for the mass Catholic colony. Mm-hmm. And so they send a really formal letter to the King of Spain at that time. And the King of Spain replied, yes, you're right. We will send you the best, you know, vines that we have in Spain. And so this there is a commemorative day for the day of, you know, 16th century, back in the 16th century, when they realize we have a country ahead. And there was a time for agriculture, right? But vines were missing. And so this opened up, you know, the story of wines from Chile. And when I was saying to you that these are legal days, because the president of Chile recognized this day legally and it's a holiday, you know.
Nice.
And only for wine, you know. It's good. It's good for us. And it's a day where everybody stop working and say, okay, let's remind it and start drinking at 9 a.m.
Lovely.
it's an exceptional excuse to start the week.
So what's going on in Shanghai? Is there anything happening on next Tuesday?
Yes, we have things happening. We have, you know, Chile is extremely well known for its sports. Mm-hmm. It's a country of poetry, maybe because of the isolation. I will not say that. But, you know, most of the poets that are, you know, famous, we have two Nobel Prizes, are people that spend long time alone, basically.
Yeah, so on Easter Island.
No, not in Easter Island, but, you know, Neruda was a consul general in Birmania at that time and in many places really isolated. And then in Chile, he spent a lot of time in the coast alone. Yes, it's, you know, we're surrounding by desert, chain of mountains, ocean. It's very hard to get there so people can feel a little alone and write. I'm briefing years of history, but just to give you an idea. So we're commemorating Parra, which is one of the most exceptional. His name is, he named himself Anti-Poet. So he's not a poet, he's an anti-poet, and all his poetry is really ironic, you know, sarcastic and really, really fun. And we translated this into Chinese, professional Chinese-like translation by the consul general here in Shanghai. We made all the book of the translation of Parra. He has a lot of poetry related to wine.
Wow.
Couples of wine and, you know, and wine was a good companion for him in the time when he was writing. He just passed away with 102 years old, like last year.
So also wine keeps you alive.
Yes, exactly. And he was very close to the wine history of Chile. So we wanted to commemorate that in the Day of the Wine. And we're doing a nice dinner, a poetry dinner in Yongfu Elite here in Puxi.
Amazing.
Bringing, you know, writers and poets from China who will read in Chinese the poems of Nicanor Parra. And we will pair these poems with wines, you know. Every poem will be paired with a dish that is a traditional you know, Yong Fuli dish, Shahanis,
wow,
with a wine from Chile. And we will see if this pairing, Poem Terpere, will have some, you know, sense and will be, you know, maybe new for people that love literature.
You know, I would love to know more about that. And I know that by the time we launch this podcast, actually, it's going to already be out. And I'd love to know later on how that turns out and what was, and we're going to put that in the show notes so everyone actually can go try it out themselves, the best pairing with the wine that worked the best and the exact poem that worked well. I'd love, yes, to put that in the show notes. So if you guys ever want to organize that yourself, you can also do a night like that. And we'll actually put up the menu maybe if that's possible so that people can try that at home. And I think it's such a great event and organization also just for people who love art and culture.
Absolutely. It's elevation, right?
For
it's
sure.
Like when you elevate, maybe wine is really terrain. But if you elevate, you know, these flavors with what is more deep or more, you know, essential. And this, we have been doing this for a long time with different artists in Chile. We're very strong in poetry, but you also have good painters, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You have a whole scene of drama, you know. We have strong tradition in that sense. And we believe that wine, food, and art should be together.
Mm-hmm. So here's the sad part. We're almost running out of time. So what I'm going to do now is we actually are going to fire 5 questions to you. You have to answer as fast as possible.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. And they're going to be simple. Don't worry. I'm not trying to get you, you know.
Give me time for my shoulders.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some stretching. So my first question is what at the moment in China is the best performing varietal and price point? So 2 questions, actually. I'm going to have to, if it's okay, I'm going to ask it in one.
FOPO retail.
So on retail, actually, mm-hmm. And best performing varietal in China from Chile, and usually the best retail kind of touch point.
Yes, would be Cabernet Sauvignon for sure, still the predominant grape. And in retail price, you need to, you know, split, would be off trade 200 renminbi.
Mm-hmm.
In online would be 180,
mm-hmm,
mostly. And in on trade will be 300 renminbi. That will be the price point that express, you know, better our essence.
So for everyone listening, that's about $40, $35, and then a little bit closer to $50. Perfect.
Yes.
Second question is, for you in Shanghai, what is your, you know, what is the food that reminds you the most of home out here in Shanghai?
Out of here in Shanghai? Or
yeah, in Shanghai.
In Shanghai.
In Shanghai.
Oh my God. Okay. I love Shanghainese food, but it's so, so, so different from our food, you know? Because in Chile, you have exceptional fresh products, mostly from the sea.
Yeah.
And it's like straight from the waters to the dish. This is made mostly our cuisine. So here's a little bit different, you know. Well, chow mein, it's something that I love. It's truly, you know, connecting with what Chinese dishes are in South America. Because all the Chinese dishes in South America has been transformed to a South American, you know, spirit,
yeah,
you know. So it's truly, truly different to what we have. But this is, you know, close. Shanghainese food is very different from Chilean.
Mm.
Your question is very tough. I cannot
chow
reply.
Chow mein is
this.
A good one then. We're going to keep it on chow mein.
Yes. If I need to, I'm covering all my, you know, structure of Shanghainese food. And this, I tell you, that will be the one who can match. But
and you know, chow mein is an international food as well because it's been literally transformed. I remember being in Canada and I thought Chinese food was chow mein. Oh. So when I came out here, I thought, wait, what is all this? I'm going to a restaurant. They don't have any chow mein or any of these wontons, deep fried wontons. It's very disappointing, actually.
It is.
So I totally agree with you. My next question, of course, is for you, when you look at Chile, what is the one idea that you want people to remember about Chilean wines? What is that go-to sentence you would explain that represents Chilean wine?
Mm. This is the most critical topic of the whole
I remember.
Yes, it is.
You have one sentence, right?
Oh my God, you give me one sentence to brief my work. This is not fair at all. Not you are illegal, you know?
You are allowed to come back on the show.
No.
So you're coming back anyway.
We need one show for this question.
Exactly, but you're definitely welcome back.
It's difficult, you know, because I would not say from my words, because this is tricky, because I'm Chilean, so I will not be that partial. But if I need to gather the opinion of non-Chilean and also Chinese friends that look at Chile, I would say that Chile is really an authentic, you know, wine producer, that we are looking for, you know, being different from the past now. So there's a truly modern vision of Chile, mm-hmm. looking for the extremes, you know, producing wines in altitude, producing wines in the deep south where there's no rain in the desert of Atacama.
Yeah.
So I would say that it's a, I like the word, I know in China it's not a perfect word, but it's an extreme country of origin, you know, today. And we are truly, we are the oldest of the new world in that sense, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we are able to escape from that tradition and be at the same time, you know, really extreme and traditional and in one concept, if I need to brief. But yeah, Chile is a land of, you know, innovation, sustainability, purity, and of course, diversity.
Yeah.
And those adjectives will help you to shape a form. But in wine, you know, I cannot reply in one sentence. And you know as well that, you know, it's a problem because wine is wine and wine is one, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's really make our life difficult, you know, when we need to be differentiated by other origins. But Chilean is that, you know, is we are in Latin America maybe the more shy personalities, you know, if you compare to Colombians
wow,
or to
yeah.
Brazilians or to Argentinians or to Peruvians, you know, we are very boring, you know. I hope I'm not boring our listeners
not at
now.
All. Not at all.
But they are really exceptional. They dance in the same, you know, when the first meeting, we're boring. We are, I would not say that, but we're called the British of South America for a long time.
You know, oh, I didn't know that.
We were very serious, you know. So this is also exceptional and this is also a difference. We're you know, perfectionist within our neighborhood, and we are really into details, and we are authentic and shy in that sense, you know. Mm. But our wine is the expression of that personality, somebody who's looking for extreme, for expression, and we're really gifted by having a land that is pure, you know. We have no phylloxera free, we're phylloxera free forever.
Yeah.
And the management of the land is really, really still, really, you know, natural, non-additive and non, you know. So it's a good combination of land and man power, you know. I would say that Chile is that, all that things together.
Wow. Yeah, that's beautiful. I even wrote down when I like it, looking at extremes or, you know, a land of extremes. It's very interesting. And of course, our last question is, how can we get in touch with you? How can we follow Wines of Chile, either on, you know, WeChat or even your email? And I'll put all the information in the show notes as well.
Sure. I mean, we have all the platform. If you want to reach me directly, please do it. I will have 15,000, you know, requests in my WeChat, but I'm not scared. We have all sort of platform. If you are in China or you're not, or if you're not in China, you're connected with China, which I strongly recommend to do. You will follow us in our, you know, WeChat, which is Wines of Chile, Chile Portaggio, and then Weibo, which is the same. And then we have, you know, Drink Chile in Instagram, and we have our Facebook, and we have our website. And we're launching next month in September the official website that is a proprietary website for us.
Perfect.
In Chinese.
Wow, great.
And then we're passing you that information to be posted.
Yeah.
It's a referral website, so you can enter, go to a winery or go to a special place, have all the maps from Chile, and get down to the SKU or to the label you want to buy.
Mm.
And you will be referred to JD. Pinchahue, any big platform where you can actually buy the wine. You know?
That simplifies it a lot, because a lot of time you do so much research in China about the winery, and then you can never find the product. So that's really great.
You have the whole information in one place.
That's exactly what people
need.
Well, listen, we're out of time, but thank you so much for joining us, Julio. I need to have you back, unfortunately, because I didn't even get through interesting varietals or unknown regions. I didn't even have a chance to do this. But thank you so much for joining us.
Please. It's a big pleasure.
Have a great day.